I'm talking to Ida Farah at the at Farah's Delicatessen and Bakery. This is the 7th of December. And I wanted to begin by asking you when you were born, Mrs. Farah.
I was born February the 6th, 1947, in a little town called Ramallah, Palestine. At the time, it was Palestine before the British mandate. Mm-hmm. And I came to this country when I was 7 1/2 in 1954. I moved to Birmingham. And then only moved to Jacksonville after I got married in 1969.
The name of your community was Ramallah?
Ramallah, yes. Oh, it's yeah. A little town on the West Bank about, it's north of Jerusalem, mm-hmm. about 15, 20 miles north of Jerusalem.
I've talked to other people who were from that community, Mr. Farmand, mm-hmm. And he was, I was talking to him and his wife the other evening, and they're telling me a lot about Ramallah. Also, Mr. Batay was, Jack Batay was telling me about it too. Why is it that so many people from Ramallah have come here to Jacksonville?
They not only came to Jacksonville, there is a large community of Ramallah people here in Jacksonville, but they're scattered all over the United States, not just Ramallah. I know Jacksonville has a large community, but I think the most of the Ramallah people reside in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Detroit, Michigan has a large number of Ramallah people,
mm-hmm.
But they're not only in the large cities, but they're all over the United States,
mm-hmm.
all over.
Is your husband from Ramallah too?
His parents were born there. He was born in Jacksonville right here.
Oh yeah, yeah. And how long have you run the bakery here?
Well, we had the bakery, Farah's Bakery. We baked the pita bread. My husband's father started the bakery, I believe it was in 1968, and we just recently sold it last September. It's been a little over a year that we've sold it, and we had a combination deli and bakery over on Macduff.
Oh, yeah.
But after we sold it, my husband and I enjoyed the retail end of the business, the imported foods, the deli. And so we decided just last year at this time, it's been a year that we've been here at this location, we decided we want to get back into it. And so we found this location and decided this is what we wanted to do.
Now, the bakery that was sold, was it making only pita? And
we were making sesame rings. We were making sub rolls. We had just purchased a large oven for the sub rolls just a few months before we sold it.
Mm-hmm.
But we were not into any other type of baking.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we were into the pastries, the Arabic pastries. We did all that. My mother-in-law and I were doing all the baking for the pastries.
Mm-hmm. Did you have much experience in baking or cooking before you married your husband?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't know what I was getting into. Not before I married.
Yeah.
I used to watch my mother in the kitchen. I picked up a lot of my tips from her.
Mm-hmm.
But after, we were on a very small scale when we got married, and it just grew so fast, very, very fast.
Why did you have such good success, do you think?
Quality products.
Mm-hmm.
Our bread was the best. We put out a good product. And anytime you put out a good product like that, no matter what the cost, the public will buy it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why it was so successful.
Were there many competitors for the same business?
At the time that we started the business, I think there was just two bakeries, Joe Ossie on Beach Boulevard and ours. In fact, the reason my father-in-law started the bakery, at the time that he decided he wanted to go into the baking business, was he had a little run out with Joe Ossie. His nephew had just recently died, and what they did, order some sesame rings from him for the memorial service. And when his nephew, other nephew went to pick it up, Joe Ossie's wife told him that she didn't have the order for him, Louise Ossie. And she gave him a hassle, and here we are prepared for the memorial service, and we didn't have anything to serve the people. So what they did, my father-in-law really got infuriated, so he said, I'm going to start my own. And that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know anything about the baking business, nothing about making bread. fact, we threw away more bread in the first few months than we sold. We kept, well, he kept experimenting until he got the right formula.
Yeah.
And he passed it on to his sons, who ran the bakery for a while. He passed away, and then his sons took over.
Mm-hmm. What was your first job when you became involved in the bakery?
I was right there in the bakery. We were rolling the dough by hand.
Oh, yeah.
We were practically doing everything by hand. We didn't have the equipment that that is there now. Everything was on a very small scale. We used to roll the dough by hand and bake it in a small pizza oven, the one that we had to feed by hand. But now it's everything is automated. They have automatic equipment for everything. So we were in the bakery rolling the dough right there. My children were raised in that bakery. I had the playpen right there with me in the bakery. And it was just family operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until it blossomed.
Yeah. Well, that's a good success story. Has Arabic food always been important in your life, even after you came to this country?
Oh, definitely. That's all we cooked at home. My mother never cooked anything else. My mother couldn't speak a word of English. I was forced to speak to her in English. In Arabic,
yeah.
So that's why I never forgot my Arabic. A lot of the younger people nowadays, when they come, it's very easy for them to forget it. But I was forced to remember it because I had to speak to my mother. She couldn't speak any English. When I started school, I couldn't speak one word of English. But I learned. I learned and picked it up real quick. And my mother didn't cook anything but Arabic food. And it's a very important part of our lives. My children were raised on it because I cook a lot of it at home. They love it. My children love the Arabic food. They prefer it over any type of other food.
Well, when we had those, my friend and I had falafel here last week, I guess. Well, it was great.
Thank you.
And she's from New York, and she's had a lot of
That's a very popular item there in New York.
Yeah, she said it's the best she's ever had.
Thank you.
What are some typical meals that you might have at home?
The thing about our food, our type of food, is that it takes so much time to prepare it. Like corn squash, stuffing it, rolling the grape leaves, stuffing the potatoes, corn potatoes and stuffing them, and same thing with the stuffed cabbage rolls. There's just so much time in preparing it. And then the kibbeh. You have to soak the wheat, you have to prepare it and everything. It just takes a lot of time. And that's why when we want a large dish, a large amount, we have to prepare for it a day ahead of time. I cook a lot of grape leaves, a lot of the kibbeh and stuffed squash for my family. They like that. A lot of stew-type foods like okra, and tomatoes with the lamb, or the beans in a tomato sauce with the lamb meat. We cook a lot with the lamb. And we serve that over a hot rice, which is delicious. That's mostly what my family eats.
So do you cook things here and take it home?
Since we've opened up this deli, that's what I have had to do because of lack of time.
Yeah.
I find it much easier to prepare my supper here and then just take it home for my family. It's a lot easier. I mean, instead of me having to rush home and getting things ready.
Yeah. Are your children old enough to do any cooking or help with cooking?
My oldest daughter has started. I can see her watching me and trying to pick up a little here and there. She loves to cook. She loves being in the kitchen. Both my daughters do, but the other one is only 9 years old. She doesn't do as much as the older one. I can depend on my older one if I give her instructions to prepare a meal.
Do you ever write down any recipes?
No, I just throw in a pinch of this and a pinch of that.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's the way best cooks do, I think.
If you ask me for a recipe, I'd have to really sit down and think about it because I don't know the amounts. I just throw in a little of that and a little of this. You know, I guess from experience, I do so much of it, especially here. So I wouldn't be able to give you a recipe. So don't ask me
I was wondering what amount of your customers here are Arabic in background.
You'd be surprised. A good bit of my clientele here are American people that have learned about our foods and that have learned, that have acquired a taste for our foods. Mm-hmm. I sell a lot of the grape leaves, the kibbeh, the tabbouleh. The tabbouleh salad sells real well here to the American people. Mm-hmm. I'd say 75% of the people that eat with me on a daily basis are Americans. Because a lot of the Arabic people can do this at home.
Right.
See, a lot of the American people don't know how to prepare it. Mm-hmm. So they would rather go somewhere where they can just buy it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be bothered. They know how much trouble it is.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay.
There we go. And I noticed that you sell Greek food here, too. I was wondering if you put a lot of thought into deciding to do that and why.
When we had the imported food store on Macduff Avenue, we carried a lot of our Greek items. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of, there's a large community of Greek people here in town, as you all know from the Greek festival.
Right.
And they are our customers. They're our friends as well as customers.
Mm-hmm.
So we carry a lot of it for their convenience. Mm-hmm. We carry a few Italian items also.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. Most of our products are Arabic.
Mm-hmm. I noticed quite a few staple sorts of things here, beans and different sorts of rices and things. So, you just go ahead if you've got something to tell us.
Yes, Beverly.
If you've got something to tell him, you go ahead anyway.
Oh, I don't have a thing to tell him.
No, she's through with me.
Did you get the onions chopped?
They're up on your board.
Thank you. Okay.
Let's see, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the different products that are here against the wall. Are there many other sources of supply of things like that?
What do you mean?
Are there places that people can get that sort of thing in Jacksonville?
Well, when we were in the business, I think Joe Ossie and our bakery were the only ones that handled it. Now there are, I think, 7 retail outlets in Jacksonville alone. So, And in fact, Publix has started carrying a lot of the items that we carry.
Mm-hmm.
The supermarkets now are finally, you know, getting smart, realizing that there are people that demand items like that, that need it in their daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's that's the reason they've started carrying. They've had a demand for it.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me, even though this is a fairly small bakery and deli, that you carry a lot of you make a lot of different things right here. And I'm wondering if you could tell me some of the main things that you do make right here in the shop.
We carry only just a few of the very popular items, the food items like kibbeh, the grape leaves, and the tabbouleh are our main, the 3 best sellers.
Mm-hmm.
I prepare all that here. We do carry the falafel, of course, is an important item, too. The public don't know as much about falafel as they do. They think that a lot of the public think that falafel is a Jewish food.
Oh, yeah.
But it's...
Oh, I don't really know how that's made. Can you tell me what
falafel,
you have to do?
Falafel?
Yeah.
You have to soak the beans ahead of time. It has to be soaked overnight. The garbanzo beans have to be soaked overnight to make them tender enough to put through the meat grinder.
Yeah.
You grind them with parsley, onions, garlic, and I put jalapeno peppers in mine. And then what I do is freeze them in 2-pound bags. Probably if they, my customers want them, I'll sell them in 2-pound bags. Otherwise, I have them for myself. What I do is fry 4 pounds at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't add my spices until I get ready to fry them. Because if you freeze them with the spices, it just takes away from it, from the taste.
Mm-hmm.
I add my cumin, my salt, my pepper, and baking soda and baking powder, with a little water, and I knead it for a few minutes. And let it sit for about 15, 20 minutes before I fry it. The grease has to be very, very hot.
It's deep fried?
Deep fried.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it only takes about a minute or so in the grease. It doesn't take long to fry.
Mm-hmm.
Fries real quick. And then I make my own sauce to go over the falafel. It's basically a tomato, bell pepper, parsley, garlic, and tahina sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Tahina, of course, is the sesame paste for the falafel.
Mm-hmm. So, is the way that you go about making it, different from the way another Arabic person might do it?
That's basically the way the Palestinians do it. Now, of course, it's just a matter of preference. Some people may not like a lot of cumin. Some may not even use any at all. I know, I don't know. This is the only recipe I know.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Lebanese people might have... I don't even know if the Lebanese people cook falafel.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's different parts of the country. I know this. It's a Palestinian dish, and this is the only recipe I have.
Mm-hmm. What are the names of the different sorts of pastry that you make? It's mind-boggling to see it.
The main ingredient in all the pastries is the phyllo dough, the strudel dough, baklava. Baklava is the Greek way of saying it. Baklava is our way, the Arabic way of saying it. It comes in different sizes, different shapes. We carry 6 or 7 varieties of baklava. But we also carry ma'mul, which is a nut-filled butter cookie. We carry ghreba, which is a butter cookie, just a plain S cookie. The other types of Arabic bake, Arabic pastries.
Hi,
Dina. David.
David Taylor. Yeah.
Taylor, this is Mr. Taylor.
Mr.
This is.
How are you today? Nice to see you. Good to see you.
My youngest daughter, Dina.
Just got out of school, I guess. Huh?
Yeah.
Robbed. Why? They got into her locker. Oh, her P.E.? She lose any books?
Yeah.
Teresa, this is Mr. Taylor, my oldest daughter, Teresa.
What are you doing?
Oh, well, he's interviewing me. And this is my son, Greg Farah, Mr. Taylor. Honey, this is for his own personal use. It's nothing.
Okay.
It's all right to talk.
They go to Bishop Kenny, and the little one goes to Assumption.
Somebody stole my money.
Okay.
$5.
Okay. She's on the we'll discuss it later. Can y'all please excuse us? Okay. All right. Y'all excuse us for a few minutes, all right?
Catastrophe in school.
As you can tell, my children are well fed. They love the Arabic food.
Before we were talking about, you mentioned you taking food to a memorial service, and that made me think about the different ceremonial functions of the traditional food that you make. What other occasions might Arabic people come to you for orders of large orders of food?
We cater large parties or small parties. I just catered a wedding for 500 people recently. We cater baptisms, christenings. We cater weddings. We have memorial services where the mercy meal is served after the funeral. That's traditional for our people, serve the mercy meal. That's from the family of the deceased, served by the family of the deceased. Parties, the party, the rehearsal dinner traditionally is given by the groom. We cater that. Almost anything, in small parties, large parties, almost anything. A lot of people prefer to, give me their orders and they pick up large orders. But we do also cater in the homes, clubs, anywhere you want.
In regard to coming with me to a school sometime, I'm wondering what you think would be the best sort of thing to demonstrate to students, things that they might be able to watch you do or to taste.
The kibbe itself and grape leaves, I think, would be the best choice. They're the most popular. The best tasting, too, I might add. I think those two items are real well.
Would that require much preparation for you?
For me, no, because it's just an everyday thing, that I do. I have things like that on hand all the time.
Okay.
What we could do is just prepare maybe a small pot of the grape leaves, cook them, and then just take a small amount of the grape leaf itself, the rice and meat mixture, and just demonstrate how we roll it.
Great.
Great. And then feed them the finished product. Have it ready for them to eat, to taste. Same way with the kibbe.
Well, I'm sure we'd have a good time. And
they
would enjoy
it. It would be a ball.
It would be just the fourth grade level, which is probably the about the...
Dina is nine. She's in the fourth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. be her age group.
Yeah.
And as you know, they're very interested in at that level.
Definitely.
And it would be, you and I talking, and just like this pretty much, asking you questions so that you can answer them to the children, and they probably would have questions for you, too.
Okay.
And the day before, I'd be talking to them about their own cooking traditions, and one thing that we sometimes do is to ask them to go and collect a traditional recipe from their parents,
mm-hmm.
so that we can start thinking about how knowledge of food is passed on, just like knowledge about stories or music or other things
mm-hmm.
is part of the traditional process in all our lives. So,
I would be very proud to demonstrate our food. As you know, the Palestinian people are a very proud group of people. And I think that people have gotten the wrong impression of them. We've always been labeled as camel jockeys, very illiterate, but the Palestinian people are the most literate people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be very proud to demonstrate.
Well, that's great. Well, that's really all the questions I have.
Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to ask me or anything you'd like to add?
I don't think so. Just give me an advance warning.
Certainly I will,
so I can prepare myself.
Okay. One other, I'll just turn this off.
Okay.